This is 1320 WILS. Well, technology may have allowed us a lot more access to information and all kinds of education. What it has also done is help fuel a surge in narcissistic and misguided intellectual egalitarianism that has crippled informed debate. That's what my next guest argues in his new book, The Death of Expertise, The Campaign Against Established Knowledge and Why It Matters. Tom Nichols is with us. He's a professor of national security affairs at the U.S. Naval War College, also a five-time undefeated Jeopardy champion. That's both of those are incredible things. Tom, great to have you on WILS.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
Yeah, were you like a lifetime Jeopardy viewer before then? Or?
Oh, yeah. You know, I used to watch it as a kid, and you'd think, wow, you know, you kind of hope to be smart enough to be on that show one day, and then you find yourself there, and it's pretty amazing. So, right. Yeah, it was kind of cool.
So when you go out to play trivia, everyone wants you on their team, I'm guessing.
I sort of have a lifetime ban on me from playing trivia because bringing me into a game is now considered hiring a ringer.
Uh-huh.
So I gotta sit them out now.
No kidding. Well, and what is it? Do you just have a memory where everything just gets caught in your mind? You remember it all? Or?
Yeah, I mean, it helps to have a brain that's kind of like a lint roller, as one of my friends said. But the thing about Jeopardy is if you graduated from high school, you'll know most of the answers. It's just you don't know them in 8 seconds and from the kind of clues they're giving you. But most people can get most Jeopardy questions. It's just a matter of getting them fast enough and getting off that little clicker, the little button there.
You got to be smart and fast. And is there a technique for the clicker to get in front of everyone else? Or?
Actually, yes. What people at home don't realize is that the board doesn't light up and let you ring in until the moment Alex is done speaking. So there's kind of a trick to making sure you've read the question and then waiting to see the little light that lets you ring in, uh-huh. which you can't see at home. So there actually is a little gimmick to doing it just right.
Tom Nichols is with us on WILS. His new book, The Death of Expertise. You're an expert yourself. And well, first of all, what's happening? Why are we turning against our experts?
Well, I wrote the book out of a certain amount of frustration about that very problem. That, you know, questioning experts is a perfectly normal thing to do. It's part of our American culture. We are not a culture that defers to other people easily. We are a democratic society. We prize our own common sense. What seems to have happened is that because of our educational system, because of the way the media kind of caters to what we want to hear, because of the way the internet provides us with answers even when they're wrong, we've started to think that we're all equal to each other in every way, including lay people being equal to experts, which is not only silly, but it's dangerous. It's bad for your health, among other things.
Well, tell me this, Tom. Those that feel many of our experts are ethically compromised, whether it's financial experts, people point to the Fed, or you know, even the government experts that tell us about our nutrition, people feel they're not being really honest with us. What do you say to that aspect?
Well, I'm going to say that experts have the same human failings that a lot of other professions have. You know, there are doctors who have been unethical, who have killed people. There are lawyers who have defended their clients poorly and ended up with people in jail. There are engineers who, you know, were day drinking and built a bad bridge. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that you then reject the whole concept of expertise and stop relying on experts. And I think the average person is almost too quick to gleefully identify expert errors as a way of never having to listen to experts again. And one example I put forward here is when doctors were wrong about eggs. That they said, all right, maybe you can eat eggs. The cholesterol isn't that bad for you. And people said, see, doctors don't know anything. That means I can start having cheeseburgers for breakfast. Well, no, that's not what that means. It means that doctors are still trying to get it right about your diet, but by and large, they tend to be more right than you are on any given day about those issues.
Tom Nichols with us on WILS. His brand new book, The Death of Expertise. How do you define an expert yourself?
Well, that's a great question. Experts, I think people tend to believe that experts are marked only by credentials. And that's one of the reasons I think people resist expertise, because not everybody with a college degree or a PhD or an engineering degree or whatever they have, you know, there are a lot of really stupid, incompetent people that have advanced degrees. So there's a lot of other ways that you mark an expert. Credentials are only one way. Experience, a proven track record, peer review and review by other people. This is why there are medical boards and engineering boards and legal associations and peer review journals. This is experts keeping tabs on other experts. So that's another way. And just talent. I mean, there are just people who are you know, not everybody who graduates from dental school is a good dentist. But again, I would still argue that every person who graduates from dental school is still going to be a better dentist than you. And that's the point I think a lot of people miss.
Now, you also say that part of the problem is our higher education system has actually led to this rejection of expertise. How so?
Well, the problem is that modern universities treat students as clients, that college, they want college to be a fun, enjoyable experience rather than the uncomfortable experience that it's supposed to be. I mean, I had a great time in college, and then college can be wonderful in years of your life, but they're also supposed to be, at least intellectually, they're supposed to be an uncomfortable time. It's not 4 years of affirming how awesome you are and what a great kid you are. It should be 4 years of challenging you, broadening you, inducing a certain amount of humility about the limits of your own knowledge and teaching you how to think critically. And when college becomes marketed to teenagers as though it's a vacation package, you know, come with us, we have the nicest dorms, we have good pizza, a lot of that gets lost. And I think that's been happening for quite a long time now.
Yeah, you're a professor yourself at the U.S. Naval War College. Do you find students with different attitudes today than you had as a student?
Well, my students during the day are military officers, so they're a unique group. But I do teach. I've taught undergraduates in the Harvard Extension School. I've taught at Dartmouth, at Georgetown, at LaSalle, and many other places during 30 years. And there is definitely a change. I think students definitely enter the classroom with a greater sense of entitlement, an inflated expectation about their own beliefs, in part because grades all the way down to elementary school have become tremendously inflated. And students think that a B is a failing grade now.
So
that's part of the problem.
You're dealing with some of these Ivy League students. I assume they think they're the smartest people in the room, some of them. How do you handle that as a professor?
Well, I'm an old school professor, so I always start by reminding them that I'm the smartest person in that particular room, which is why I'm getting paid and standing behind the podium and they're sitting down and writing down what I say. But I also think that that's natural. I mean, I kind of like the fact that younger students walk in with a lot of this confidence, because that's part of what adolescence is about, that you kind of stretch and try yourself out and see how high you can jump and how far you can see and how fast you can run. Mm-hmm. But it's a teacher's job to take all of that energy and to channel it into an ability to think critically and to become somebody who can learn things for the rest of their lives.
Tom Nichols with us. His brand new book is The Death of Expertise, The Campaign Against Established Knowledge and Why It Matters. You're listening to 1320 WILS. Who's waging the campaign then?
Well, it's all over the place. I mean, from people who are arguing with doctors about vaccines to people who are willing to argue with diplomats about the size of the American foreign policy budget. It's everywhere. And a part of the reason I wrote the book is that it's a kind of broad spectrum campaign of people who really don't know very much taking on experts in their own field. Yeah. And I decided it was time to speak up for the experts.
And they feel they've done the research. Maybe they spent 4 or 5 months online reading hundreds of articles. What makes them no experts at that point?
Well, first of all, most of them have not spent 4 or 5 months doing the research online. What they've done is they've spent a lot of time clicking through web pages. And one of the things that I point out in the book is that the ability to blow through web pages very quickly, and we're finding this from studies that have been done on how people read, is actually making people dumber than if they hadn't done it at all, because they come away from the internet thinking they know more than they do, which actually makes them resistant to learning real facts. The other problem is that when people say, well, I've done some research, research is not just reading stuff that you find on the internet. Research is itself a skill that has to be taught. It teaches you to discriminate between good sources and bad sources. It teaches you how to evaluate competing claims. It teaches you what evidence is. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's a part of the problem, is that people now believe that clicking through a lot of web pages, you know, every evening, or reading dumb Facebook memes or following a Twitter stream, and I'm a fan of all those things, by the way, is the same thing as research. It's not the same thing as research.
Mm, okay. So how do we address this as a society? How do we fix this?
Well, the optimistic scenario is that as time goes on, we come to understand, I think maybe we, through reforming our educational system or through better communication with each other, that we kind of get past this populist, anti-expert time that we're living in, mm-hmm. and we start listening to each other a little more carefully. I think, unfortunately, the more likely outcome is a pessimistic outcome in which expertise returns to its role in society because of some kind of a disaster, because of a war, because of a economic collapse, because of a pandemic, or something where people kind of get shocked out of their complacency and realize that they actually have to talk to experts once again. I hope that doesn't happen.
This is a brand new book, and it really speaks to the age we're in right now and where we're heading forward from here. The book is The Death of Expertise, The Campaign Against Established Knowledge and Why It Matters. Tom Nichols, right here on 1320 WILS. Tom, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me, Mike.
And that wraps it up for us on this Friday evening. I'm Michael Cohen. Thanks for joining us on 1320 WILS, and we will be back at 6 p.m. on Monday right here on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS.